Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, a few years ago, I was invited to Germany. One of my good friends, a lifelong friend, invited me to come and preach at his wedding. He told me that he knew of no pastor in Germany that could do this for him, and so would I consider coming over and preaching to him and to his friends? Share the word of God with a bunch of people who don't go to church and know no pastor and get to see the place that I had spent summers during high school and college and have the opportunity to take my family along with me to see the place where I had spent a year during my seminary studies in Oberursel? Yeah, I would come, no problem. Not to mention where the wedding was going to be held. It was at a historic castle. It was a historic castle with a beautiful chapel, an ornate Baroque altar, all stonework, a tiny little chapel, just enough for my friend and his small group of about 100 wedding guests. So I was honored to be there with my friend sharing the gospel. My wedding text that I had chosen was John 2, the wedding of Cana. And as I launched into my sermon, I said, we all know the story of the wedding of Cana and John 2. Blank stares. Surely you know about one of the most famous examples of wedding sermons in all of the Bible. Furrowed brows, heads tilted to one side, not sure of what I was talking about. Oh, come on. Surely you know about Jesus turning water into wine, the greatest miracle of the Bible. Nothing. People actually started to shake their heads. No, they had no idea what I was talking about. I had made a great mistake in preaching. I had made a mistake that often gets made in our post-Christian world. I had made a mistake that often gets made in our biblically illiterate world. I had made a mistake that often gets made in a world where more and more people mark none when asked their religious affiliation. I didn't know my hearers. I didn't know what they knew about Jesus, or what they knew about the Bible, or that they knew hardly anything. I had not taken into account my hearers when I developed my sermon. This morning, I want you who are going to be, or who already are, proclaiming Jesus, whether from a pulpit at Fieldwork Church or as a deaconess at the bedside of someone who is dying or a teaching vacation Bible school to little ones, I want you to be thinking about who are the hearers that I'm sent to proclaim. And I want you to love them and to speak Jesus to them in a particular way. Peter, in our lesson for today, does just that in Acts chapter 2. He starts out his sermon by saying, "Men of Israel, men of Jerusalem, and all who live in Judea." He knew his context. And so he starts out his sermon about Jesus, who had come doing miracles. He starts out the sermon, though, talking about what was going on at right that moment. The Holy Spirit had been poured out. And because Peter knows that his hearers know the Hebrew Scriptures, he uses Joel to remind these people that this had been prophesied long ago. He then gets into the story of Jesus, that he had come doing miracles, and that he had come and people had rejected him and put him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, and so he uses Psalm 16 to explain that God would not let his Holy One see decay, but rather would raise him up to new life. Peter goes on to talk about how Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise to David, that one day there would be a Messiah, a king, the Christ, who would sit on David's throne and who would rule. And that this Jesus had been raised up, ascended into heaven. And so Peter uses Psalm 110, a familiar psalm to these Jewish people, to proclaim and remind them that the Lord had said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Peter reminded them that this one that had been raised up was not only the Christ, but the Lord. Peter knew his hearers. Later in Acts, a very different sermon gets preached in a very different place. Paul preaches on Mars Hill to some very different people, Greeks, who knew nothing of the Hebrew Scriptures. And so he doesn't quote the Old Testament in that sermon. He starts with what they knew, the idol to the unknown God. Moved on to their Greek poets and talked about the God in whom we live and move and have our being. And then he proclaimed Jesus, this one who was coming to judge all people. And so he issued then a call for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. Peter and Paul, preaching to very different crowds of people, knew well their hearers and took them into account when they proclaimed Jesus. I want us to do that. I want us to do that as we're going out to proclaim at Fieldwork Church or at a bedside or at a vacation Bible school or in a classroom. I want you to know the difference between somebody who is a farmer in Iowa and an urban dweller in New York City. I want you to know the difference between a three-year-old who knows Jesus loves me, this I know, but that's about it, and the 90-year-old lifelong Lutheran. And when you share Jesus with them, I want you to think deeply about who they are. Too often we don't do that. Maybe it's just a carelessness, but there is a deeper sin in it. Are we loving our neighbor as we are sharing Jesus with them? Have we spent time getting to know them? This morning, you are my hearers. And I think I know a little bit about you. I think you know the scriptures. You've taken the Old and New Testament exams, right? Or you've studied the Old and New Testaments in Bible study or in school. Where you've grown up. So I think you know the scriptures, and I was able to share them with you. But this morning I want to call you, like Peter and Paul did, I want to call you to repentance. I want to call you back to the God who knows who you are, who knows well who you are, and has sent preachers and teachers to you to share Jesus with you in the English language. In a Midwestern lingo, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, calls you to repentance this morning. You are the dear baptized people of God, and so you already have been called to repentance. You already are baptized. You already have received the forgiveness of your sins. But this morning I say to you again, your sins are forgiven. When you have forgotten to take your hearers into context and haven't loved them with your whole heart, your sins are forgiven. And so I want you to charge out to love your hearers as you proclaim Jesus to them. By God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in this silly preacher who had forgotten my audience in Germany, I was able to back up and to tell the simple story of Jesus and what happened at the wedding of Cana. I proclaimed to these people that even if they didn't believe in God at all, because that was who my hearers really were, that God still was meeting them in this wedding with his word. We had wonderful conversations after the wedding. Some people after also even came up and wanted to know more about this Jesus that I had proclaimed to them. And conversations continue to this day. And so may God continue to send you out to strange and different contexts. May you love those contexts and the different people that you are sent to. And may you proclaim the one faith and the one Lord Jesus Christ in a very particular way to a very particular people. In his name, amen. We sing our hymn.